Praise the Lord.
Amen.
God bless you all.
Amen.
Thank you for the opportunity that we have to share the Word of God, to break the bread of life, to see what it is that the Lord will speak to us this morning.
Jesus.
Amen. I believe that, before I get started, let's just have a word of prayer. Father, I want to thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. I want to thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ, that blood that gives us every and absolutely thing that we need, Father, to accomplish the task that has been given to us by virtue of that blood of Jesus Christ. Father, help us to be cognizant of it. Help us to realize the magnitude of it. Help us to have that fear that is necessary, Father, in working in conjunction with your desire, your will in these last days. Father, help us to understand the significance of the time frame we are living in. So, Father, we just come to you this morning. I present my mind, my emotions, my desires, my will unto your hand. Father, let your thoughts be my thoughts. Let my words be your words. Father, I pray for the ears of the hearers. It's not so much the language or the English that is spoken or the word in itself as it is the spirit that is in it. Father, we pray for that impartation.
Amen.
We ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know, there's a parable in the Bible, and it's the parable of the workers in the field, and I think it came three times, right? Once in the morning, once in the afternoon, and then once in the later part of the day. And the thing that is significant about it is that they all got paid the same thing for the labor that they did. Well, I believe what we are in at the end of the day, and that God is now recruiting individuals who are willing to now go into that field to labor. And the reward of that labor is the same, because the job that they are going to do is as great, even though it is in the latter part of the day, as those that labored during the heat of the day. Hallelujah. And we are very blessed to be living in this time. We are very blessed to be having a word that God has given us. And I think that we have to understand the reality of that word that God is giving to us. God is not giving us a word to build another church or even just to have a fellowship. But God is bringing together individuals under the auspices of the authority of this word to unite them together and to develop that aspect of what God calls the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. So it's very important for us to understand the position, the place that we are in. And I want to just draw the tabernacle for you, if I may, because the tabernacle is the basis. It is the foundation. It is the structure, and it is also the finished product of which God is doing in this hour with us as a people. You could say that this structure, in essence, is the kingdom, right? Kingdom of light. Hallelujah. Everything inside of this structure is indicative of the light. The light being in reference to righteousness. The light being in reference to God. So we. And the aspects of what is in the tabernacle are the things that are pertinent to our development, to our growth, to our position of coming to a place of perfection, to coming to a place of understanding and knowing in the reality of what it is that God is doing with us and what we are doing with God. Praise God. Hallelujah. So with that thought, then everything out here is darkness. Praise God. Everything out here is darkness. You could just as well say world. World. Everything out here is darkness and world. And as we know about world that that in itself is totally and absolutely against anything and everything that is light. They are not compatible. There is no compatibility. None. Now, we seem to think that we can have the best of both worlds, but we cannot. Hallelujah. One of the scriptures, which is a basic scripture, which I do not really believe that we know the reality of it, is in found in Romans, and it's found in the 6th chapter, and you all know it very well. It says, What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that as many as you were baptized into Jesus Christ, you were baptized into his death? So, world has another name. World has another name. Right? Sin. If you talk about the world, it doesn't really define it to a degree or to a position to where it identifies. So anything that is connected to me, that is connected to the world, in some degree or another, it is having an influence upon me. Hallelujah. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
Oh boy. You know, the Bible says that the road is straight and narrow. It is straight, it is narrow. I one time asked God, I said, what do you mean straight and narrow? And he showed me a funnel. You know, you've got a big funnel at the end, at the top, and it goes down, goes down, goes down, goes down. And he showed me a man making his way through that funnel. And he started out with a bunch of stuff on, and slowly but surely he was having to get rid of it, and he was getting down where he had to get down lower and lower and lower. Finally, he was down on his hands and knees, and he was basically had to strip himself totally and absolutely to wiggle his way through that little funnel, and it come to a point to where it was an impossibility. But at that point of that impossibility, God intervened. Hallelujah. So that means that I have to do everything that I possibly can do in the aspect of what it is I'm doing and the walk that I am walking with God concerning light and darkness. Hallelujah. Now, darkness also has another name. Darkness has a name that is called perdition. Hallelujah. All of this is indicative of a perditious nature. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And all of us are born with that perditious nature. Hallelujah. You could also say that perdition is categorized by the word death, as in dying. Not dying to self, but as in the Bible, as it refers to man as being dead. Turn with me to Romans. I'm giving you a basic lesson in salvation, I guess, today. Hallelujah. Romans 5. It says, wherefore by one man sin, that's verse 12, praise God. 5 is the number of grace and ministry. 12 is the number of government. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Praise the Lord. So the nature that you and I have, whether you're Nigerian, American, Scottish, English, or whatever you are, we all have that same perditious nature. We are born under the spirit of perdition. Hallelujah. And perhaps I should go back a little bit, so that we can understand how it is and why it is that we find ourselves in that condition. In the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, we begin to be told the story of what happened before Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 1. Hallelujah. Because when it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, brethren, you have to understand this is not natural darkness. There is no sun yet. There's no sun yet. There's no light made to define darkness. You understand what I'm saying? We define darkness by light, turning off the light, and it gets dark, right?
Yes.
That isn't the definition, the biblical definition of darkness. Hallelujah. And if you want to know without form and void, darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, if you want to define the darkness biblically, I would encourage you to turn your Bibles over to Jeremiah chapter 4. Hallelujah. Turn your Bibles, Jeremiah chapter 4. And I'm not going to go into all of it, but I encourage you to read the whole fourth chapter of Jeremiah. Four, by the way, is the number of tribulation. And this chapter 4 is a very tribulating situation. It's a chapter that describes the position of rebellion of Israel against God. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on. Praise the Lord. And I encourage you to read the whole chapter. You can do your homework. And now the prophet Jeremiah, you understand now, the prophet Jeremiah is not talking for himself. He's talking for God. It was as though God stood right there in Jeremiah's shoes, talking putting out this piece here in Jeremiah 4. And he starts here. I want to come down here to the verse 19. He says, my bowels, I am pained in my heart. Now, God is talking to you using human terms to identify the distress that God is in. Can you imagine God being in distress? Huh? Can you imagine that? Hallelujah. But God is in distress. At least this sounds very distressful to me. Hallelujah. It sounds very distressful to me. I want to see something, if I can find it. Hallelujah. So he says, my bowels, I am pained at my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. My goodness. Let me read it to you in the Amplified, if I may. Let's see here. These things never cooperate for me with me. It says, I do like the Amplified in some situations. Mm. It gives you so many adjectives, and that it leaves no doubt in your mind as to what the point is. Okay, let me read this to you. It is not only the prophet, but also the people who cry out in their thoughts. Well, I don't know if I like that too much. But this, he says, my anguish, I wreathe in pain. Now, you have to understand this is God talking. This is not a man who has indigestion. This is God who is talking about about his people and the thing that they are doing and how it relates to him and what it causes him, how it affects him. Hallelujah. He says, my heart is disquieted. No, it says, oh, the walls of my heart. My heart is disquieted. It throbs aloud within me. I cannot be silent, for I have heard the sound of the trumpet of the alarm of war. News of one violent disaster and calamity comes close after another. Sounds like today, doesn't it? Huh? It sounds so much like today. But now, remember, God is talking to his people. He's not addressing the situation, the economical, political environment. He's addressing the attitude of his people toward him. And yet, you can look in the world today and see the reality of it on another level. But just keep in mind, this is how God is looking at his people. For the whole land is laid waste suddenly, or my, that's God's tent, spoiled and destroyed, my tent curtains ruined in a moment. All right. He's not talking about a natural tent. Hallelujah. He's not talking about a natural dwelling. Who is the dwelling place of God? What is the dwelling place of God? Huh? We just spent all day yesterday and night before. It's us. We are the tabernacle of God. Hallelujah. God doesn't live in a tent. Hallelujah. So when he talks about his tents being spoiled, when he talks about his curtains being destroyed, what is he talking about? He's talking about the hearts of individuals. Praise God. So he comes over here and he says, how long shall I, God, see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? Now, he now clarifies it. He says, for my people. Hello? Hallelujah. It says, for my people are stupid. Can you imagine God talking like that? Huh? For my people are stupid, says the Lord. They do not know and understand me. Okay. Just for the sake of what was the indictment that God brought against the New Testament church? What was the indictment? There was an indictment twice. There was a select group of people who came to Jesus Christ and said to him, he was dividing them up and he was casting some of them this way and taking some of them this way. And they came to him and he said, you shall not enter in. And they said, well, wait a minute. We have healed people in your name. Huh?
Yeah.
We have prophesied in your name. We have done many good works in your name. And now this was a church oriented people. This wasn't heathen. Hallelujah. Perhaps if we could find that scripture, it would be good to look at that. And he said, depart from me. He says, you workers of iniquity. But he also says, I do not know you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, let's get a little closer. We have five wise and five foolish. All of them have lamps. Some of them have oil, some of them don't have oil. Praise God. The groom comes. The ones with oil have to go out and without the oil, have to go out and buy the oil. While they are out buying the oil, the five go in and the door is shut. Now, these individuals, praise God, they come back with the oil. They bought oil, right? They go up and they knock on the door. And they're saying, let me in, let me in. What was the response? Now, these are Christian people. They're virgins. They have oil. Praise God. Hallelujah. What was the declaration? You don't know? Jesus says when they were knocking, the virgins, when they were knocking on the door, they came back with their oil. And he says, I can't let you in. Huh? What did he say? I do. You're afraid to say it or something. I don't know. Or maybe you just don't know. I know you know it. Hallelujah. Huh? He says, I do not know you. You know, that could be me. Do you know that? Hello? That could be you. I don't want it to be me, and I certainly really, really don't want it to be you. But it's in the Bible, and it's talking about the coming of Jesus Christ. It's talking about the position or the place of the being the bride of Christ. Hello? It's talking about all those things that are pertinent to the message that you and I believe. Now, my thought, maybe you have a different perspective, but if you go into Revelation 12, hallelujah, and you read about the woman who is standing on the moon, clothed with the sun, pregnant with a child, is the synopsis of the entirety of the gospel of sonship. It is the culmination of the thing. Because those who have been called, and those who have been elected, and those who have managed to fulfill the obligation of what is required in order to qualify. You know, we don't like the thought that we have to qualify. We don't like it. We don't like that at all. Because we want to believe that the grace of God is sufficient enough to move us out of the place that we are in to the place that we need to be in some miraculous way, some miraculous manner. Hallelujah. And in some respects, we still have rapture doctrine.
Oh, yes.
We believe that God, so merciful and so loving, just because I don't quite measure up, will not treat me in a manner that is out of character with how I think He should be. And the Bible is not written that way. You understand? You know, I go through the Bible and I read the Old Testament and I read the instructions that was given to Moses. I read the instructions that was given to Joshua as they were to go in. Sometimes they were to kill everything. This is the same God. It's the same today as He was yesterday, as He is tomorrow. Hallelujah. Of course, there's an eternal aspect in all of that that God sees and God knows. But nevertheless, we have to understand the critical quality of what it is that critical quality of what it is that God requires of us to do with regards to what He has given us. All right, you just keep chewing on that thought. Let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 4. It says here, where did I stop? Verse 19. Let me get the last word there in Jeremiah 4:19. O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Praise God. I really believe in the aspects of how this verse is stated when it talks about the trumpet. It's significant to the trumpet that is in Revelations also. Hallelujah. That's just a little side note there for you. Verse 20, destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled and my curtains in a moment. Praise the Lord. That's a pretty bad situation, isn't it? And it's all inclusive. You understand what I'm saying when I say all inclusive? If he's talking about Israel, it means to some degree everybody is involved in the dilemma or in the aspect of what is going on that he sees that creating such a difficulty for him. And if it is something that is pertinent for then and it is pertinent for now, it means I still have a lot of room and a lot of things to do to make up for what it is that where I have to be at the end of the day. Hallelujah. It says, how long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? All right. We read that, I think, right? Okay. It says, for my people, I think I stopped at that one. They do not know or understand me. They are thick-headed children. I don't know if you use those terminologies in Nigeria. But, you know, we in the States, my mother said to me one day, she said, Bert, knock on wood. And he said, that's to imply you have a hard, hard head. Huh? Hallelujah. They are thick-headed children. My goodness. You know, I'm sure you must have an expression like that. Huh? Mm-hmm. What kind of expression do you have? I'm just curious. Huh? What's that?
Stubborn boy.
Huh?
Stubborn boy.
Stubborn boy.
Yeah.
That's it?
You got to be stubborn. It's different across the language.
I see. Okay. So the translation of stubborn, it goes into quite a graphic. All right. You could say, for they are stubborn boys and girls. I've seen some of that stubbornness in some of the children, by the way. And they have no understanding. That means they do not comprehend, that they are slow to hear. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. Praise God. Amen. Now, remember, we are defining Genesis 1, chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. We are defining that condition that is there. And where it really puts its finger on it is in verse 23, when it says, and I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and heavens, they had no light. You know, this is the only place in the Bible where you have the exact same phrase reiterated. The only place in the Bible. Word for word reiterated. I believe it was done on purpose. And can you imagine that God would allow somebody to do that? Praise God. So we are seeing that the situation here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 is not a physical thing. We're seeing that it is not a physical thing, and we can put a name on it if you wish. We can call it rebellion. Huh? Hallelujah. We can call it rebellion. Rebellion is defined in so many words. So you have darkness, world, sin, and being rebellion. Rebellion encompasses and categorizes it and lumps it all together. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, brethren, this is not natural light. There is a division in the spiritual realm of God, and that division brings a separation. One side is called darkness, and the other side is called light. Hallelujah. Not talking about natural light now. Huh? You're not talking about natural light. You're talking about life, and you're light, life, and you're talking about darkness, which is death. Hallelujah. Death is, and in some degrees, death is not just a thing that happens. Death is almost as an entity that has a personality, because it says the last enemy. What is the last enemy? Now tell me, how can a word that describes a condition be an enemy? An enemy has to have a personality. An enemy has to have an identity. An enemy has to have something significant about it that you can identify it as being an enemy. And an enemy is not something that is passive. It's aggressive. It's aggressive. That's why it's an enemy. And it's an enemy is also defined by it, by the fact of what it is, and what defined by the opposites of what they are that are involved in it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because right and wrong, wrong is the enemy of right. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In a spiritual sense. Now, I'm you know, Paul said, I think he quoted it last night. He says, we are not one that box at the air. Huh? And we need to understand what it is that you and I have to fight. We have to understand who is my enemy. Hello? No, you don't walk down the street with him. And walk around the corner, or two of you walk around the corner, and only one of you end up at the end of the block. Hallelujah. So he's defining it for us. Hallelujah. So there was a division, there was a separation that came. Now, I want you to understand, I want you to look and see how it is written, on how he brought it about. Okay? It says, and God said. You know, God don't talk. You know, he's verbal language. And if he did talk, I don't know which language he would talk in. But God don't talk. It is a thought. It is something that is in the entity of God that is released out of God into an environment. And it is in the form of energy, and that energy does something that is creative. Hello? Are you listening to me? You look bored. Hallelujah. I think you probably got more sleep than I got last night. Hallelujah, because I didn't get much sleep at all. And the night before, I didn't get any sleep. Praise the Lord. Huh? I said I didn't get much sleep. Hallelujah. If I didn't get much sleep, I would have had to woke up somewhere. Hallelujah. 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 And you know, I'm just going to throw some thoughts out to you, because I think you should chew on them. I think you should find out something about them. Now, it said, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Boy, you know, sometimes I just can't get past the God said thing. When somebody came to you and began to witness to you about Jesus Christ, you were in sin, you were in death, you were a son of perdition. Come on. Hello? Hallelujah. You were ensnared, entangled, you were mesmerized by the aspect of what was going on. And somebody just came along out of the blue and they said something. Hallelujah. They said something to you about your need to have the blood of Jesus Christ. And what they said was what they said and what you heard quickened something inside of you that really wasn't there before they said it. Hello? I don't know how many times somebody's come to you before you were saved, but before I got saved, there were several that came to me, and they said the same things, they used the same scriptures. Nothing. Nothing. Ah, yeah, go away. You know. Huh? Yeah. But one day somebody came along and said something. They used the same scripture. They used the same. They used the same theology. And in that aspect and in that moment, something inside of me jerked. Hello, hallelujah. And it wasn't what they were saying. It was in the spirit of the thing. And the attitude of what they were before the Lord and the ability of God to flow through them to me. Hallelujah. And when they spoke it, hallelujah, it created in me an ability to believe. I did not have it before. Hallelujah. It was not cognizant. I was not cognizant of it. I didn't know what it felt like. I didn't know what it tasted like. But I knew that when this person spoke to me, something indelibly happened. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And in some little aspect, some little bit, then I have somehow experienced something of what happened here in the very beginning. Hallelujah. Now, I want you, you need to relate to it. Praise the Lord. Because as I'm standing before that man, I am darkness.
Yes.
I'm darkness.
That's right.
I'm death. That's what the Bible says. You are all dead in sins and trespasses. Death passed upon one man. Death, now remember, death, darkness, world, sin. Rebellion. Boy, was I a rebellious person. My goodness. Wild rebellion. Hallelujah. But when God said, let there be light, he didn't say, let there be light. He was telling me the four spiritual laws, but in the essence of it, it was as God was saying, let there be light.
Yeah.
And even as it was saying there, and there was light. Hallelujah. 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 Come on. You don't you just sit there. What was your experience? Do you remember it? Hallelujah. I get excited every time I think about it. Praise the Lord. And you know, it gives me life. It gives me life. And boy, I need a lot of it. Hallelujah. The older you get, the more life you need. Hallelujah. The older you get, the more life you need. I'm telling you, when you wait till you get old, if God told it, you will wish you had heard Brother Bert. Hallelujah. The older you get, the more life you need. Hello? Hallelujah. Because one day God told me, he said, you know, Brother Bert, he said, I was complaining, you know, about being getting old. Hallelujah. Because when you're 20, you don't think about it. You're invisible. You're indestructible. You're just totally titanium. Huh? When you're 30, it's still indestructibility. 40, you begin to start feeling a little, I wonder what's going on here. 50, you start thinking, oh my God, what is happening? And 60, you say, oh, I only got 10 more years. Huh? Because it says it's given unto man what? 60
score.
3 score, 20, 40, 60, and 10 years. Hello? Hello? You know, I believe the Bible. Hello? So the closer I get to 70, the more life I need. Because when I get to 70, I just don't want to drop dead. I want to be able to cross over the line. Hello? Come on, brethren. And God saw the light. Now, this is what I want. And God saw the light, and it was good. It was something new to God. Oh, my God. Don't you understand what it's saying? Do you hear it? How could God see it and then know it was good? How come he didn't know it that was good before he saw it? It didn't exist in some form or fashion. It wasn't there. Hello? He made the light, looked at the light, and said, the light is good.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now I want to go back over here to John chapter 1. We want to define, we're defining the light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says, in the beginning was the Word. Oh, my goodness, there's that word again. Word, there's that word. Huh? That was what was in the beginning, was a Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Word and God are synonymous. They're all wrapped up together. And it is not just the Word that was in the beginning, not just the Word that was in John chapter 1, verse 1. It is the Word that we have, and the Word that we have inside of us. Hello? Hallelujah. I don't know, brother. Maybe you're satisfied being what you are. I don't know. Maybe you are, but I'm not satisfied with what I am. There's nothing about me that is good. Nothing. My family, my goodness, they crawled out of the sewer. Huh? Did you hear me? Hallelujah. Murderers, adulterers, liars, cheats. Come on. Of course, your family is a whole lot purer than mine, I'm sure. They crawled out of the sewer. What is there about my family that I need to be proud or pleased about? Huh? Hallelujah. There is nothing. Hallelujah. And I am so very glad that God gave me an opportunity to be really born again.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Hallelujah. And then it goes on to tell us that Word condescended. Huh? That Word condescended and took the form, hallelujah, of a man called Jesus. Hallelujah. So we have here back in Genesis chapter 1, we have a division between light and darkness. And you know, God said, I think when the Bible talks about God doing a new thing, hello, hallelujah, I think it's a reference to this and also a reference to what he will be doing in the future.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But God had divided the light and the darkness. Hallelujah. But it was still more or less in something of what you would call free form. It was not contained. Hello? He had to bring it down. He had to put it in a place by which it could be managed.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So when he developed, then on the fourth day, no, is yes, on the fourth day, on the verse 4, I meant. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, God saw the light and it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. There is no sun, no moon, no stars. None. Hallelujah. So it's all a spiritual environment. Hallelujah. He did not create. He did not create he then goes down to verse 7, creating the firmament, creating the waters and whatnot. It was not until verse 14, he created the lights in the firmament of the heaven and divided the day from the night. Hallelujah. Now, when he divided the light, the day from the night, now he is bringing, these are all spiritual terminologies. There is a physical thing happened, but there are spiritual liabilities that are attached to them. They are indicative of what it is that we have to deal with on a spiritual level. Now, verse 16. Now, verse 16. He says he created, God made two great lights, greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Hallelujah. So we see God bringing it down, dividing it, bringing it down. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. And he puts it now in a physical form. Hallelujah. And it is important for us to understand what it is that is happened. I want to find a verse here. Go over to the second chapter of Genesis. Hallelujah. Second chapter of Genesis. I want to start at verse 8. 8 is the number of new beginnings, by the way. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that was pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So there was a tree. Hallelujah. There was one tree. Right? Hallelujah. Two trees. Hallelujah. This one was the tree of life. Huh? Tree of life. Now, you think it was a real tree? You think it was a real tree? Huh? You think it was a real, like an apple tree or something like that? Huh? You think it was a real tree? Huh? I don't think it was a real tree. How are you going to, one tree you eat is going to give you life, and the other tree you eat is going to bring death? How would that be natural? How, what would that kind of deal would that be? Hallelujah. God doesn't need trees to give you life. It's a symbol. It's symbolic. It's a position or a place of an experience, of a reality, of a personality. Hallelujah. When Jesus came, he said, "You what? You must what? What must you do?" You don't know what he said? You must eat of my flesh and drink my blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this tree was a tree of, this tree was a tree of life, which is indicative of Christ. Hello? And this tree, they call it the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What was the significance of that tree? What was the significance? Huh? Yeah, what was the significance of it? If you eat of it, what would happen? Huh? You will die. So it represents the position of death. Hallelujah. In correlation with the knowledge of good and evil. Hello? Hallelujah. Praise God. So one tree is tree of death. All right. I want to go back to John. Go back to John because I wanted you to see it in the scriptures. Praise God. It says, John chapter 1, all things were made by him. That's verse 3. Without him was not anything made. In him was life. So it wasn't really a natural tree as much as the tree was Christ. Huh? Does that sound strange? Oh my goodness. Okay, let us go on. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth into the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So there is a position, there is a place. There was one tree of life, one tree of death. Hallelujah. And God said to them, the day that you eat it, what will happen? You will surely die. Well, did they die in one day?
Yes.
Yes, you know the answer. Did they die in one day? Huh? Huh? One day is 1,000 years. So, you know how long Adam lived? 965 years. He didn't make it to the one day. The Bible, 2 Peter, 1 Peter says, a day with the Lord is what? As 1,000 years. Hallelujah. Adam died at 900 and some 60 some years or 30 some years of age. He did not make the whole day. Hallelujah. So the Word of God, the Word of God is accurate. It's totally positive in the aspect of what it is and what it says. So here we are. But man did something. Hallelujah. What happened to man? Huh? He ate of the tree, and he became death, or dead. What's the difference? Did you hear me? Man partook of the tree, and then partaking of the tree, he became the substance of what the tree was. He became darkness.
Yep.
Hallelujah. Man became darkness. Now, you have to understand that in the economy of God, light and darkness have the ability to create.
That's right.
Light has the ability to create life. Darkness has the ability to create death. We see it all the time. Man developing weapons to destroy things. Man doing all kinds of things. They even come up with this total annihilation of the atomic bomb and all of that. That is gross darkness. Man, it comes out of man's dark mind. Man. Hallelujah. So light and darkness have a quality of, are an ability to create something. Hallelujah. But you see, the devil is not made to handle it. The devil is not made to handle it. Because the devil was not made as you and I were, was not created in the same fashion or in the same form or in the same place that the devil was created. There's only one entity that God created that has the same potential of power of creation that he possesses, and that's man. Hello? Hallelujah. So the devil needs man in order to harness darkness. Hallelujah. The devil needs man in order to harness darkness. Hallelujah. And I was going to God concerning some of this, and I was asking him about it, and I asked him to give me some kind of definition or some sort of example as to how I could comprehend the creative power that is in darkness. He said, well, in darkness there is a latent power of creation. That means that without some external means, it lies dormant.
Not active.
It lies dormant. Hallelujah. He says, and he showed me a big body of water behind a dam, and he says, do you know of the latent power that is in water? And I'm thinking, you know, you swim in it, you boat on it, you fish out of it, you play with it, and you don't think of it as having some sort of latent power. But you run it through a generator, and it creates creates an activity that produces energy that is able to light an entire city. Hello? Hallelujah. So the devil needs you and I, as generators. Oh my goodness. I'm sorry?
You relate it to when the scripture said that Lucifer was the morning, some of the morning, until sin was found in him.
Yes, yes. You're talking about Satan.
Yes.
Well, the iniquity of Satan, that goes with what was happening in Genesis chapter 1. Yes, that would be Ezekiel 28, I believe. Hallelujah. So the devil devised a plan by which he might be able to usurp God in order to capture the ability of a kingdom that he could utilize to do what it was he wanted to do in Ezekiel 28 and in Isaiah 14. Hello? It says, listen to what he wanted to do. Isaiah, let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah 14. Brother Chijoki read it the other day. Chapter 14, verse 13. I'm not going to go through it. We read it already, and you can go back through it. But there are five I wills. Five times he says, I will, I will, I will. Five is the number of ministry. That means that it is a ministry of suppression and rebellion. Hello? Hallelujah. And then he says in the final, he says, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We want to paint the devil as an entity that is somewhat, in some manner or another, comparable to God. Hallelujah. But the fact of the matter is, without you, the devil is nothing. That's what the Bible says, you resist the devil, what? So now, if he's bigger than you, or almost comparable to God, how is it that you, in just your resisting, is going to cause him to flee? Hallelujah. So the devil isn't our problem. The devil is not our problem. What is our problem is the darkness inside of us that the devil has to manipulate in order to utilize our creative power of death and darkness. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There wasn't just one man that was called Judas that was categorized as the son of perdition. You see, God, the devil wants to create an entity in the same fashion, in the same manner that God is wanting to create a body of which he can be head of. Hello? So you need a perditious base. You need a perditious structure. You need a perditious nature. Hello. And Paul said it, the spirit. He said the spirit of perdition that was working in his time. and that was continually to working to bring forth. And that spirit of perdition deals with the nature of darkness that is within us. Now, God gave us the capability. It says we were created a little lower than the angels, but are what? Exalted, are moved up, are put up into a higher place, a higher realm, to be what? Governor over the works of His hand. Hello? Hallelujah. Now, let me just, I feel here I need to just say one thing. There was rules that God laid down when He began to create things. When He created the beast of the field, when He created the cattle and the creeping things, every time He created something, He said, "And everything shall bring forth after its own kind." So that means cattle has to produce cattle. Sheep has to produce sheep. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And as angels were not created with the power of procreation, hallelujah, they do not have the ability to procreate themselves. Oh my goodness. Hallelujah. So which kind are you? Which kind are you? Huh? You're this kind. You're this kind. He says, and God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish, the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in His own image. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So in that creation of God that God made, and now you have to remember, when God breathed into Adam, he became a living soul. What are you? So would you not now be in that same position, in that same place? Would you not have the same abilities, the same potentials, the same ability to come to a position or a place of fullness, if that indeed is your position or your right of inheritance, if I might use that word? Hallelujah. Okay, I can give it to you in another way. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. 8 again is the number of new beginnings. Praise the Lord. Okay, let me start at verse 15. 3 is 30 times 5. That's fullness of grace. Fullness of ministry. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. By the way, the fear, what has held man in bondage? Fear of what? Fear of what? Oh, is that right? Fear of death. Praise God. Do you know that you are born, you're dying? But we have received the spirit of redemption, whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now listen, brethren. I mean, it either is true or it's not true. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God. Now listen, joint heirs with Christ. If we suffer, if so that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Praise the Lord. What does joint heirs mean? What is joint heirs? Now, thinking back, you have to go back. You have to think about Jews, Jewish community, and all of the things that they do. Who inherited all that was of the Father? Really? The firstborn. So, who is the firstborn of the Father? Jesus Christ? Okay. So he stands now as the heir of all that belongs to and encompasses as far as God is concerned. Hallelujah. In your law, if you have such a law, what does it mean to be a joint heir? What does it mean?
You have the right to the inheritance.
Huh?
You have the right to the inheritance of the father.
Yes, but joint. That means the same as, equal portion.
Co-equal.
Co-equal. Isn't that what it means?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So this verse says right here that if we are children, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, and joint heirs with Christ. Praise God. Huh? I'm trying to find it here. I want to find it. I want to see what the Amplified says about it. And if we are His children, then we are His heirs, also heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing His inheritance with Him. Only we must share His sufferings if we are to share His glory. Huh? Come on. Come on. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is a little scripture that is quoted here of Jesus, and it says, "And the devil cometh to him and findeth nothing." What did he not find? He found no darkness. Hallelujah. Now, if you think that Jesus the man had a inside track, you're thinking wrong. Hallelujah. You're thinking wrong. Hallelujah. An inside track. Because he was immaculately conceived. And because when you are born again, when you receive the blood of Jesus Christ, you are in the same position. You are in the same place. You have the same authority. You have the same composition of all that was in Jesus when he was conceived in Mary. Or do we just think it's metaphysical? Is that the right word? Huh? Do we think it's just spiritualized? Is it spiritualized or is it in aspect and actuality of thought? An actuality of being? Huh? Why if it's just spiritualized, does the Bible go in to say, "Little children, I travail in God again for you, that Christ be formed in you"? There is a nature that is inside of us by virtue of the impregnation of the Word of God that comes to us. Hello? Are you listening to me? You know, what was it that gave Mary the ability to believe that what was being spoken would happen? What was it that came to her? What gave her that strength? It was a being called an angel, wasn't it not? You know what angel means? Huh? Angel means one who bears a message. A message. And a message is what? It's a word. It's a word. It's a word. Now you mean I'm telling you that she heard a word and the word did for her what it did for her to produce Jesus? Yes, that's exactly what I'm telling you. What was it that you heard? What was it that I heard? What would you hear? Huh? It was a word. Somebody spoke a word. Hallelujah. And my life changed, irrevocably changed. Hello? Hallelujah. We somehow, some way, want to, in one manner or another, put it off outside of us. We don't want to kind of grasp it and hold it. But the reality of it is, I can be that man that is called a son of God. Not the son of God. I can be called a man. Listen, Romans 8, he said, for the creature, for the earnest expectation. This is the whole epitome of what it is that we are listening to. The end of the day. For the creature, the creation, was made subject to vanity. No, verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the plural sons of God. Hello? Is it going to be just some more magic wand stuff that God waves over us and all of a sudden we're celestial now? Huh? Hallelujah. Doesn't work that way. Hallelujah. Jesus walked a natural path. Jesus had to deal with natural situations. Jesus had to walk through all the mechanics of his soul. Anger and frustration and lust and death and all those attributes that come because of his humanity. His humanity was under the bondage and under the sin of death. Hello? Hallelujah. 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 So we waiting for the man, because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children, plural, children of God. Hello? Hallelujah. And here's another one for you. Ephesians the fourth chapter. No, Ephesians the second chapter. First chapter, I'm sorry. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation of the knowledge of him. Where? Where is that knowledge? Where of him? Where? The knowledge of him in you. Give you the revelation of the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightening. Listen, that ye may know what is the hope of whose calling? Jesus' calling. And what the riches of the glory of whose glory? His glory. Now, inheritance, where is that inheritance? In you. Hallelujah. Do you think the inheritance that is in you is any less than the inheritance that God was going to give him? As far as his position or class or realm of authority is concerned? Hello? Hallelujah. 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 There was one other verse I'm trying to remember. It slipped away. I wanted to share with you in that respect. So we want to know what it is that we are fighting. I want you to turn with me over into 1 Thessalonians. We've mentioned this chapter, this book, many times this weekend. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's say verse 2, chapter 2, verse 2. That ye may not soon, that be not soon shaken in your mind, or be troubled. I'm in 2 Thessalonians. I'm sorry, did I say 1? 2 Thessalonians 2, 2. Hallelujah. That ye be not soon shaken in your mind, or be troubled, neither be spirit by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Now, he's talking about Christ, but he's talking about the appearance of Christ in a body. Hallelujah. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. You know, brethren, it might be talking about a particular individual, but it is not referencing a particular individual only. It is identifying the position of what it is that we have to fight in here. Hallelujah. It says, Who, now listen, now remember, we started in Genesis 1 with rebellion, right?
Yeah.
Verse 4, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is God, or that is worshiped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself.